terms for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, give me a break. I mean, yes, me personally, but all of us, right? We all want a break.
Amen.
We're talking about stress, worry, and anxiety. And have stress, worry, or anxiety left you feeling a little burned out and exhausted? Well, if so, we want to help you find the answers you're looking for to the problems you're dealing with and reconnect with the peace God wants for your life. The number, 877-573-7825. Once again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, the problem with it all is that stress, worry, and anxiety doesn't take any work. It just happens, right? It doesn't take any work to be peaceful, to have a calm spirit, to feel connected to the Holy Spirit. That takes conscious decision. That takes a certain amount of positive and intentional self-talk.
None of that's any fun, Lisa.
Well, it's very fun if you can feel that way, but it doesn't just suddenly wash over you, getting some bill you didn't expect, or a diagnosis you didn't want, or having your kid decide that you're the worst parent in the world, or having that argument with your spouse, or worrying about your job. Those things get thrust upon us. But there are things that we can do that don't take tons of work that allow you to begin to get that stress, worry, and anxiety into the hands of God so that you can work with His plan and feel calmer, feel more trusting of the Lord, feel like, okay, with God, I can do it.
And develop the practical insights that you need to handle whatever you're facing. So let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Call up and share. What's stressing you out these days? Maybe you're worried about a particular problem you're facing in your life or relationships. Maybe you're stressed because you don't know how to respond to a challenging person you've got to deal with, or a situation you're going through. Or maybe, like a lot of people these days, you're just feeling a constant undercurrent of stress and anxiety because of, well, life. Well, whatever's behind the stress, worry, or anxiety you're experiencing, we want to help you find the solutions you're looking for to those problems you're facing and the peace that God wants to give you in good times and bad. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how we can reclaim that peace even in the face of challenges. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you might be wondering, well, what is that? And how could some theology help me deal with these practical concerns I've got about stress and worry and anxiety? Well, you've come to the right place, and those are terrific questions. So when he was Pope, St. John Paul asked a huge question. Specifically, if we looked at everything God's given us, say creation, scripture, salvation, history, all that stuff, right? What universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And that's what the theology of the body became. And that's why it's going to help us today.
That's right, and it will, because the theology of the body reminds us that our bodies are good, and what we experience in our bodies should lead us to reflect on deeper spiritual realities. Rather than ignoring the physical signs of anxiety or denying our stress, we can recognize that God is reminding us to turn to Him, to ask how He wants us to take care of ourselves while responding to the challenges we face with responsibility and love.
Wait a minute, Christians aren't allowed to take care of ourselves. What are you talking about?
Well, we can talk about that listeners.
Right, I'll let you continue, please. I'm sorry.
Thanks. Because, you know, when we go back to the theology of the body, it also highlights the importance of communion with others, which can sometimes make us feel more stressed than we think, but it's a different kind of communion. Anxiety often isolates us, but we are not meant to suffer alone. Reaching out for support when we're stressed isn't selfish, and it is not weak. It reflects God's call to communion with others.
Well, that's right. And look, when we're feeling stressed, worried, or anxious, rather than giving in to the temptations to either run around trying to fix everything ourselves, or alternatively shut down and turn in on ourselves, we need to remember to first bring those concerns to God, right? To ask Him how we can respond to the challenges we're facing in a way that will glorify Him, help us be our best selves, and challenge the people around us to be their best selves too. And while we're at it, we should ask how we can take better care of ourselves so that we don't burn out while we're waiting for the answers that we're seeking. You know, by approaching stressful situations in this thoughtful, receptive manner, we can stop reacting to stressors and acting impulsively in ways that just lead to bigger problems and more complications. And the more we're able to be receptive to God's grace and to identifying the resources God's given us to make a plan and the supports He's given us to carry us through those challenges, the more we're able to respond to stressors confidently, effectively, and gracefully. But as you said, Lisa, you know, that takes some work, and it doesn't come naturally to us. Being stressed, worried, and anxious tends to come naturally to us in this fallen world. So we want to help you reclaim those skills you need to get that peace that you're looking for and find the answers that you're seeking to those challenges that are stressing you out, causing you to worry or feel anxious. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And I want to say that nobody here is saying stress, worry, and anxiety is normal. Just because everybody experiences it is not normal. It is not what we are made for. It happens because we are part of a fallen world, and not just because it's a fallen world, but in ourselves, in our body, we intuitively know it's not what we are made for. We are made to live in peace with God and with others. So when we seek communion with others, especially others who can help us with whatever is stressing us out, we are actually doing a very decisive spiritual act. We are saying, I'm going to work for the kingdom of God. I'm not just going to stay here and stew in this. I'm not going to let it fester. I'm not just going to accept that the world's a fallen, crazy place. I'm going to do what I need to do to get my little corner of it, my heart, my mind, my soul, in sync with God.
Yeah, and you know, building on what you were just saying, you know, when you say anxiety, stress, worry isn't normal, I mean, it's certainly common.
But each and every one of us experiences it.
But it isn't what we were made for. You're absolutely right. And so, you know, in my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, people often challenge me on the title, you know, because, oh, come on, A Life Without Anxiety. And what I mean by that is not that we could live a life without concerns, but that's different from a life with anxiety. So, you know, and I've talked about this before on the show, but if I have a concern, right, or if I look at a problem as a concern, I'm able to say, all right, there's a problem there. I should probably do something about that problem. And then I bring it to God, I gather resources, I look for support, I make a plan, and I handle it. You know, I might not love having to handle it, but I feel like I can handle it. I can see a way through, I can pick up my tools, and I can do the job. Right? But when I'm anxious about a problem, I see the problem and say, oh my gosh, that's a problem. Kind of a big problem, and I'm going to be squished by that problem, and what am I going to do about that problem? And then you start spinning out. Well, I don't think I can do anything about that problem, but I have to do something about it, but I can't do anything about it, but I have to do it. And it goes from there, right? And that's a very different experience of problems. St. Augustine actually talked about this. He referred to the press of troubles versus oppression. And the press of troubles is just all the stuff that we have to deal with in life. There's no escaping that. You know, we have to deal with the thing. But there's a difference between dealing with the press of troubles, or as I was saying before, concerns, and being oppressed by troubles, which is when we allow ourselves to let those troubles separate us from God's grace, from the love and support of the people around us, and from our own best selves and the resources that God's given us to deal with those things. So whatever you're facing, we want to help you manage those stressors more effectively and stop feeling so stressed, worried, and anxious today on More to Life. The number 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Call up and share what's stressing you out. Are you worried about a particular problem you're facing in your life or relationships? Stressed because you don't know how to respond to a challenging person or a situation you're going through? Or maybe you're just feeling that constant undercurrent of stress and anxiety that a lot of people are feeling these days. Whatever is behind your stress, worry, or anxiety, let us help you find the solutions that you're seeking and the peace that God wants to give you. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you right now, and we bring you the challenges that we face in our life, our relationships, all those things that cause us to spin out, feel worried, stressed, or anxious. Help us to respond to those things in ways that enable us to glorify you, to be our best selves, and to challenge the people around us to be their best selves too. Help us, even when we don't know what specifically to do about the problem, to focus in on those questions that really allow us to reclaim our strengths, our resources, gather our supports, and make a plan, so that rather than reacting by running around trying to fix everything ourselves or shutting down and avoiding everything, we can respond to those challenges in graceful ways, confidently, knowing that you are walking with us and enabling us to overcome all challenges through your grace. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today's show is titled, Give Me a Break. We're talking about when worry and stress and anxiety are just kind of wearing us out, whether it's burning you out or wearing you down or just making you feel unhappy. We want to help you find the answers you're looking for to those problems that you're facing and discover the peace that God wants for your life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we're starting off the day here with an email from Sarah, who sent us an email at questions@moretoliferadio.com. She said, I would like perspective on a situation between my parents and my sister. I'm 46 years old, and my older sister has struggled with my mother for as long as I can remember. My sister is the first of four children and is the only adopted sibling. We have a brother who passed away at 7 from congenital issues. His death is part of my sister's wounds. I have always been her listening ear. She holds many resentments toward our mother, all of which seem to stem from many different events during childhood, but ultimately believing that our mother did not like or even love her as a child. I know these are real feelings and possibly real situations. I'm 11 years younger, so I wouldn't have been present for most of her childhood. It puts me in a hard situation to hear these things spoken against my mother, but also that my mother would have possibly treated my sister this way. I have never injected myself between the two of them, but this past year it has become impossible to skirt around. I also worry that I have enabled my sister by not forcing them to deal with these issues sooner. But it now needs to be dealt with because it is not only very unhealthy, but it's becoming public and my children are being pulled into her emotions and anger. I don't want to walk on eggshells when my family is together, which is maybe 2 times a year, but also I want them to have a happy and healthy relationship. My sister wants my mom to acknowledge these painful memories and genuinely apologize to her. My mom doesn't remember these events and in her older age gets confused about what she's supposed to do. I have requested they seek counseling so they can both speak and be heard, but my sister will not. So my sister has these outbursts and makes gatherings uncomfortable, then sweeps it all under the rug, and my parents think everything's okay until we're all together again. A yo-yo of emotions. I think part of what confuses everyone is the way my sister outbursts, and then no one can hear her real pain, and they write it off as being emotionally controlling. I need help understanding how I can respond to my sister when she opens up and relives all of the situations she's been upset at with my mom. I need to understand how to encourage better communication between my sister and parents. I really need her to deal with these issues so that we don't go on this merry-go-round of the same issues every year. I don't want her to feel alienated by me. And that's Sarah.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much. And, you know, you have a beautiful heart, and I want to thank you for, you know, your desire to really bring more peace into your family and to be there for your sister and your folks. I'm going to say that you can't control the outcome of any of this. Like, a lot of the things that you're saying that you want are beyond your ability to produce. You know, you can't make your sister and your mom have a better relationship. You can't make your sister accept counseling or do healthy things to deal with her grief. You know, you can't prevent your sister perhaps from feeling alienated even. All you can do is really respond to these things in a way that enables you to be your best self and invites, not guarantees, but invites everybody else to be their best selves too. And really that's all we're called to do, right? We can't control the outcome. We have to leave that to God. But we have to focus not so much on what's going to please everybody or what's going to fix the problem, but what's the right thing to do about the situation that's directly in front of us. And if we're doing that, then we're being faithful to our call in that moment to be instruments of peace and grace in the situation. And then, you know, that gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to do what he needs to do. So in that case, what I'm going to suggest to you here, that when it comes to your sister, the best thing for you to do is similar to what you've been doing, but maybe a little bit more direct, and saying a couple of things. So first of all, saying to her, you know, I always want to be here for you, but the things you're bringing to me are really beyond my ability to help you with. You know, I can listen, but I can't really fix any of this. And I really, you know, I've found the numbers for some good counselors or websites or whatever. I really would love for you to go and investigate them. And if she refuses to do it, then say, well, then I think that we need to be done with this conversation then. Because if you're not willing to do the things that would actually help you, I can't be part of the problem. See, because, and I'm sorry, it's
Sarah.
Sarah, you know, what happens a lot of times with folks like your sister is I'm using the word incorrectly, but it's my way of putting it. They cathart all over you, right? And then they feel better. And this is not a particularly pretty analogy, but think of it this way. When we feel nauseous, right, and we vomit, we feel better, right? So what she's doing, she's emotionally vomiting all over you. And you're left to kind of clean up the ick. And she feels better enough that she doesn't have to do anything about it. And if you become the person who receives all that ick all the time, you become part of the problem, because she just thinks, well, I'll just go dump on Sarah and then I'll feel better and then I don't have to do anything. So the best thing for you to do is to not receive that. And to say to her, I love you, I want to be here for you, but the best thing I can do is encourage you to call this person or go to that website and learn more about this. And if you're not willing to do that, I get that. I respect that you're not ready to address those questions. But then we need to talk about something else. So let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about sports. But you change the subject. And if that offends her or makes her feel alienated, that's on her, because that's the right thing for you to do. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't be concerned about her reaction to the right thing. You just have to decide what the right thing is. And the right thing in this case is to invite her to healing. And if she's not willing to do that, recognize that you're not a counselor and you can't help her without, and you know, and it's time to change the subject. When it comes to your folks, now, you know, you said that your mom gets confused. I don't know if that means that she's experiencing dementia or other cognitive decline. You know, if she's not, and this is just a matter of she's just kind of confused.
She's just flabbergasted about how this keeps coming up twice a year when everything seems fine all the other time.
You know, I think that the thing that you want to encourage your mom to do is not just say, this is an episodic thing, that it's somehow, you know, her sister has just decided to be upset about this one and she's being dramatic. It's, you know, this is a long-term problem. And the best way for your folks to handle this would be to address it proactively. And instead of waiting for the next time for it to come up, to say, you know, you're really hurting, and I want to be part of your healing. I can't necessarily respond to all the things that you've shared from your childhood or whatever, but I'm sorry that you're hurting, and I want to be part of your healing. What can I do to help you now? And then the last thing I'll leave you with is that the reason these things come up have less to do with her past than they have to do with what's going on in the present. So it's a good question to ask, and to encourage your mom to ask, what's going on right now that's bringing all this up for you? And how could you respond to it in a way that would actually help you feel more effective? And then you guys can all focus on what can we do now about it. Those are the things I would suggest in terms of how to handle it moving forward. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We offer more suggestions in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. And with that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's going to be talking about mom stress when we come back from the break. Stick around.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, give me a break. We're talking about stress, worry, and anxiety. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, you wanted to talk to us a bit about mom stress.
And you have a scripture verse for us, don't you, Rachel?
Yes. God,
tell us what it is.
Wants us to have so... From God,
you know,
we have the words of, He desires mercy, not sacrifice. And when that caught my eye as I was reading the Bible, I went, wait a minute, no, I sacrifice as a mom. You know, I give up what I want, I make the dinners, I do the laundry. And when I heard that, mercy, I said, wait a minute, I'm not giving mercy to myself or to others. I tend to work as a parenting mode from, I'm giving you all this stuff and you better give it back to me, kind of, that, you know, give and take. And I had to realize that I was working for a while from a sense of dread about everything I did as a parent. You know, before my feet even hit the floor, I woke up going, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And I was setting myself up for failure throughout the day. And then I remembered another scripture verse where God said, you know, Mary comes to Jesus, says, they've run out of wine. And I realized I had run out of everything. I had run out of patience. I had run out of joy. I had run out of all that made my life good. And I had not taken the time to give myself a break and say, Lord, refill the jars. Bring back to me, Lord, all that I've lost. and give some mercy to myself.
Yeah. And so give me, in the short time we have left, a couple of practical things that moms who maybe don't have sitters around, whose spouses can't spot them and give them a break, what can moms be doing to help themselves bring down that emotional temperature and reconnect with the Holy Spirit?
I think what we need to do is we need to walk away from technology first and foremost. Put down the phone, turn off the TV. You know, scrolling isn't going to help. What can you do with your kids? Can you just go for a walk in your neighborhood, find a park where you're watching them safely play, and you're turning down the volume around you so you can hear God's voice? Hear him say to you how much he loves you, how proud he is of you as you're raising this family and helping out his church and his mission here on the world. You can, you know, while the kids are entertaining themselves, get a cup of coffee out on the back porch and just watch nature go by.
I got to jump in with that, Rachel. Permission. Thank you so much for those suggestions. And if folks would like to learn more about the Little Flowers Girls Club, they can go to BeholdPublications.com. We are talking more about handling this kind of stress and all other kinds of stress, worry, and anxiety. But more to life continues after the break. 877-573-7825.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Like the saints, do our loved ones who have gone before us still participate in the living tradition of prayer? The Catholic Catechism says they participate by the witness of their lives, the transmission of their writings, and their actual prayer right now. Witnesses in heaven contemplate God, praise him, and constantly care for those they have left on earth. When saints enter into the joy of their master, they are put in charge of many things. The Catechism asserts that the saints' intercession is their most exalted service to God's plan. Thus, we should be asking them to intercede for us and for the entire world. Sometimes personal charisms of witnesses to God's love for mankind are passed on as the spirit of Elijah was passed on to Elisha and John the Baptist in order that their followers may have a share in their spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When a close friend does something to offend you, do you usually assume they meant to be mean? Or instead, do you assume the offense was unintentional? Well, research finds that happily married couples tend to give each other the benefit of the doubt, an outlook that relationship experts call a positive intention frame, because it involves framing offensive actions in the best possible light. These couples assume that most of their spouse's offensive actions stem from miscommunication or misunderstanding, not from bad intentions. Now, having a positive intention frame doesn't mean excusing offensive behavior. Happy couples address bad behavior directly, but they do it in a way that assumes the best about their spouse and lets them save face. Instead of criticizing their spouse, they might complain about the spouse's behavior. See the difference? Criticisms frame the person as the problem. Complaints frame the behavior as the problem. When a couple consistently adopts this attitude about each other, it makes it easier for them to bring up issues, and more likely that those issues can be resolved with a minimum of drama. Get more tips for nurturing a happy marriage in our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or if you'd like more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, give me a break.
talking about stress, worry, and anxiety and all the problems that provoke it. And more importantly, how to find answers and reclaim your peace. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Orleans.
On Catholic Community Radio. Hey, Christine, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Thank you very much. My husband of almost 14 years is suffering from an incurable progressive neurodegenerative disease, which will eventually kill him. We don't know if it's going to be a couple of years or 10 years. It's causing me lots of stress, worry. Sure. I'm not sleeping well at night. I'm on stomach medication. And I find myself getting less engaged with taking care of myself, even though right now I still have time to do it. I don't want to exercise. I don't want to clean the house.
Don't want to do those things, what when you think about doing those things, what goes through your head?
It's like, ugh, I don't feel like doing it. It's even though I know it needs to be done, or the exercise, I know I need to do it for my health, and I need to do it because I have to be able to take care of my husband.
Sure.
As he gets worse. But
and I appreciate that you feel really overwhelmed by all this and scared about this and concerned for your husband's well-being. I mean, I get all that, but I just want to understand. So, just kind of play this out for me, if you would. If you imagine taking the time to exercise or taking the time to clean your house or taking the time, what would you feel like you were losing or missing out on if you did those things instead?
Nothing. I wouldn't be missing out on anything.
Well, but you would. So for example, the reason I'm saying that you could be missing out on time with your husband. You could be missing out on time to take care of yourself. So, like, you know, avoiding those kinds of responsibilities, for example, are sometimes a way of taking care of ourselves whenever we're stressed out and overwhelmed. So I want you to think about that, because we tend to beat up on ourselves when we quote unquote don't do the things we ought to do. But the reason we're not doing the things we ought to do is because we're afraid if I do those things, then I won't get some other need met.
Yeah, and it could be very, it could be way under the surface for you. It could be just, I feel comfortable when I'm kind of just curled up in a ball next to my husband, and if I went and exercised or if I went and cleaned part of the house, I'd have to challenge that comfort, and I don't want to. But yet, you're spinning out thinking of all the things that you should be doing instead, so you're not really as comfortable as you think. It could be, if I do all these things, maybe nobody will notice that I'm really, really suffering. And if I don't do them, maybe people will notice that I'm really, really suffering and somebody will help me. You kind of want to think about what are those things that you are, without realizing it, thinking there's a payoff for not doing it.
It's useful to kind of think about this in terms of parts, right? So, like, there's the part of you, and we talk about this all the time. We talk about silly things, like part of me wants to go to the Italian place tonight for dinner, and part of me wants to go to the Mexican place, right? You know, we talk about it's the parts aren't real, but we talk about it that way all the time. So there's a part of you that wanted to call into the show to get advice on how you could handle all this better and exercise and keep up with your house and do the things, quote-unquote, that you ought to do. But then there's another part of you that doesn't want to do any of those things and just feels overwhelmed and burned out and tired. And each of those parts, so to speak, is representing a different need that you've got. And unless we're able to consciously identify the need behind that more resistant part, so for you, the part that won't let you exercise or won't let you clean your house, if we can't identify the need that that part is representing, we tend to just beat up on that part and shame it for being there, right? So so what I'm suggesting to you, Christine, is just take some time in prayer and don't pick on yourself for not cleaning the house or doing the exercise or doing the other responsibilities. Sit with God and that part of you that's resistant to it and say, what is this part trying to do for me? What are the needs this part is trying to represent? I'm going to guess it has something to do with helping you feel like you're taking care of yourself, helping you feel a little more secure, a little bit more comfortable in the face of all the fears that you're dealing with and overwhelming responsibilities that you're having to handle, that this is sort of a backhanded way of taking care of yourself that part is trying to do. But once you identify what that intention behind that part is, you can start saying, is this working for me? Am I really, you know, if for the sake of argument, if this part's intention is to take care of you, do I feel taken care of?
when I don't clean the house or when I don't exercise? Or do I just feel oppressed by the fact that I'm just giving myself more stuff to do down the line, or I'm making myself sick down the line? And if so, then you can say, well, what would help me feel like I was taking care of myself? I mean, I've done this for myself too. Like, you know, there are times where I feel overwhelmed and kind of oppressed, and I don't want to do some household chore or some responsibility. And if I have that conversation with myself and I say, okay, let me talk to that part of me that doesn't want to do that job. And it says, well, you know, I want you to kind of pace yourself. I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to do something nice for yourself. You've been working really hard. I want you to relax. So I'm able to say, well, okay, here's my plan for taking care of myself and relaxing. I can do X, Y, and Z. But I also know I'm going to feel more taken care of if I do this thing. And I'm able to kind of think through it that way instead of just feeling like, oh, here's another thing I have to do. Right. And it's one more way I'm not going to get to take care of myself. But in order to get there, you have to be conscious about what the intention behind that resistant part actually is, instead of just beating up on yourself for not being able to do what you want to do.
And that'll help you kind of tease this out and begin to figure it out so you have more strength to deal with it. And Christine, a really practical thing I want to share with you is when we feel so overwhelmed, it's because everything feels gigantic. Just gigantic. All you can think about is everything that could or will happen. And we get so weighed down by it. So in terms of, like, let's take the two that you mentioned. Cleaning the house, getting some exercise. Breaking those down into tiny increments. And setting a timer for yourself so that you know when to start and you know when to stop. So if you've got an alarm clock, if you've got an alarm on your phone, whatever it is, say to yourself, all right, I'm going to let myself rest or just be next to my husband, whatever that is, from the top of the hour till 10 minutes to the next hour. When my alarm goes off at whatever 50 o'clock, I am going to get up and it could be I'm going to do 10 squats. I'm going to, you know, go and just change over the laundry or just wipe down the kitchen counters, whatever it is, and then the alarm goes off or the timer goes off at the end of that 10 minutes, you stop. And you've accomplished something that you can see, you can feel good about it, but it was in a small little bit, and then you can go back to doing what was making you feel comfortable, and then do that again at the top of the next hour. 10 minutes on the next little household task, or 10 minutes on one little bit more of exercise. Don't try to find a whole hour to exercise or a whole day to clean the house because it's too universal. It's too overwhelming.
I'll just give you one example of this. You know, so for example, there was a study that just came out recently. You can help me remember the details, Lisa. But it was a study that talked about how people with type 2 diabetes, mm-hmm. If they just every hour did, what was it, 10
squats? 30 squats.
It was 30 squats?
30 squats.
So if every hour you did 30 squats, that actually decreases your blood sugar significantly and
more than anything else you can do.
Like if you took an hour and did it. Like if you're doing it throughout the day like that. So even little, you know, so you're going to say every hour, I think I'm going to take 5 minutes to just do some kind of physical activity for myself. You know, instead of I have to take an hour at the gym and then it's an hour driving there and an hour back and, you know.
Because everything feels so big right now. And it is. But the same thing with dealing with the stuff you have to do for your husband's care, right? You can say, okay, you know, in the next, so 1 hour I'm going to do a household task for 10 minutes. The next hour I'm going to do some minor, you know, little bit of exercise for 10 minutes. The hour after that, when the alarm goes off, I'm going to take a look at that paperwork or make that call to that person for my husband's, you know, next appointment or whatever it is. If we can break things down into tiny increments and make sure we stop when the other alarm goes off, that is so important so we don't get so entrenched that we go under again and think, I can't handle everything, it's too big. Small pieces while you're really spending time additionally asking God, hey, what am I getting out of this and how can I really work with you to improve this situation?
Two final things, Christine. First of all, I know that when we are taking care of a loved one, you know, our spouse especially, we want to be the ones to do it. And that's really admirable and beautiful. And you should be the primary person taking care of your husband, as long as your care for him is actually meeting his needs. Like there are sometimes people will put themselves in a position where they're trying to provide for a loved one, and they're asking themselves to do things they're not equipped to do. And in that case, then it's time to kind of transfer that person to whatever qualified care they can get. But assuming that you're in a place where you can still provide for his care, I want you to take advantage, if it's at all possible. I'd like you to at least investigate it. Home health care, because they, in addition to just the nursing care, they do also offer respite care, where someone can just come and be with your husband while you go out to run some errands or get a cup of coffee take a walk, even, or some basic nursing care, so that you can get a couple of hours, a couple of times a week, just to kind of do what you need to do.
Connect with a friend. Do something that you can just get that stuff done or make that connection.
And we can feel terribly guilty about that, but I would really encourage you to seek that support, whether that's the professional support from a home health agency or from friends who are willing to chip in. I really want to encourage you on that front. And finally, you shouldn't have to go through this alone. So if you do have good support with friends in your area, your pastor, or somebody, then really reach out to them. But if not, or if you're looking for more specialized, kind of faith-filled support to manage this and learn some skills to deal with the stress of this long-term, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with somebody who can really support you through this and give you some both spiritual and emotional tools to manage the stress of all this better. I want to thank you for being willing to step into the breach here and be there for your husband through these difficult challenges. We've added you to our More to Life prayer list, but if there's more that we can do to support you here on the show, don't hesitate to reach out to us, or if you'd like to learn more about how we can support you through CatholicCounselors.com, don't hesitate to reach out to us there as well. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our break, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 10 years with us. KSWZ 105.3 FM serves St. George and Manhattan, Kansas.
Congratulations to Kent Hampton and his team at the Sword of St. George Radio from your friends here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you're tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well, so we can keep supporting you in living a more faithful and abundant life for decades to come. And thank you, all of you who are supporting EWTN Radio, and thanks especially to those station owners who are building the kingdom through Catholic Radio, and particularly today, Kent Hampton and your whole team at Sword of St. George Catholic Radio in Manhattan, Kansas. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. The show today is titled Give Me a Break, as we talk about stress, worry, and anxiety, and the particular problems that are stressing us out, and all the things that are causing us to feel anxious. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from James chapter 1, verse 12.
Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial.
Okay, so just looking at that verse, superficially, I don't know, it kind of leaves me a little cold, frankly. It's like, well, gee, thanks. You know what I mean?
It freaks me out, frankly. I'm like, well, then I'm done for, because I'll never be steadfast enough under some of these trials.
Well, but really, there's some real wisdom here, and that's terrifically helpful. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast through trial. What happens when we're under trial, when we face difficulties? I was talking about this a little bit earlier in the show. We start wondering, how can I make everybody happy? What do I need to do to fix the whole thing? How can I find that one solution that's going to make it all go away? And because we don't have clear answers to any of that stuff, we just start to spin out. But what does being steadfast under trial really mean? It means being able to look at what's in front of us and say, what's the right thing to do right now? Right? How could I respond to this part of the problem that's in front of me in this moment in a way that would allow me to be my best self, whatever I prayerfully think that might be, and would allow me to challenge the people around me to be their best selves too? And if I can focus on both of those things, just trying to get an answer to both of those things in the face of the immediate problem in front of me, I can be steadfast and step bit by bit through the problem I'm facing and get to the solution I'm seeking. It's not always easy, no, but it's a lot less stressful than trying to run around fixing everything all by myself, trying to make it all go away with one fell swoop, and just trying to make, and just wondering why I can't do any of it. So, you know, remember this passage. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. And remember what we talked about with regard to what it means to be steadfast. We'll keep unpacking all this when we come back from our break on our show titled Give Me a Break. So we're going to take one of those right now. But when we come back, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Have worry and stress left you feeling exhausted? We want to help you find the answers you're looking for and the peace God wants to give you. 877-573-7825. Back in just a minute.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
He is honored by the church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls on our show titled Give Me a Break. We're talking about overcoming stress, worry, and anxiety.
We're talking now with Karen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Alaska.
Karen in Anchorage, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, I have a decades-old habit of trying to deal with stress through food. It's ineffective. It's my one ineffective tool in the toolbox, and I try to think myself out of it. I try to see recognize the ill effects. But when I want to slow down from the stress of being a mom and working full time and caring for my elderly mother, nothing catastrophic but all stressful. Praying just seems empty, and the pan of brownies wins.
Doesn't?
I need to break the cycle.
Okay, so, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, and, you know, the reality is, I mean, this is a particularly challenging thing that a lot of people struggle with, and there are certainly good things you can do about it, but it's an incremental process. And the problem is, you know, we tend to, with these kinds of habits, we tend to look for, you know, okay, I need to make a big change in this right now. I'm sick of being this way. I'm frustrated with myself, so I'm going to change it all. Right, and then we make this big diet plan where we're going to deprive ourselves and just push on through. and it's all going to be better now. And then, of course, we run out of steam like in an hour or two, or maybe if we're lucky, a week. And then we kind of fall off the wagon, right? So what I'm going to suggest to you is you want to take a two-front approach to this. First of all, you made it pretty clear that there are times when the need to overeat becomes more irresistible than others. And I'm guessing that's because you've let the stress pile up a little bit more than in those other times. And I realize you've got a lot on your plate. But I want you to be intentional about managing that. And here's what I mean. I want you to be taking your emotional temperature throughout the day. And when I say emotional temperature, I don't mean ask yourself how you feel. I want you to look at actual physical signs, right? So on this 10-point scale that I'm going to give you here, 1 to 5, you're fine. You're pretty calm. I'm just going to kind of skip over those. 6 is where you start having to fake calm. It's like you're agitated inside, but people aren't noticing it because you're working hard to just seem nice. You know, to seem like you've got it under control. At about a 7 on that scale, what happens is you start getting more like, well, you don't care what people think. Like you start like, you know, rolling your eyes and huffing and puffing and doing.
You're almost hoping that they'll notice because maybe they'll just get it all together.
Yeah. So your filters, those nonverbal filters, are starting to fall at a 7, and you're letting people know that you're stressed. At an 8, that's where your verbal filters start to fall. You're not yelling at anybody, but you're, you know, you're lecturing or you're blaming or you just have had it, kind of, and you're letting people know that. At a 9, now that's when you're starting, your verbal filters are completely fallen, and that's when you're either shutting down totally or you're saying a whole lot of things about how aggravated and frustrated you are. And at a 10, that's where our kind of our moral filters fall, and we start saying and doing things that are kind of hurtful and mean, and we wouldn't do those things if we were in a better place. My point is, if you notice yourself getting to a 6 or a 7, that's a sign that you need, that you're too high. And that you're going to need to figure out what I can do to back off that stress, even just 1 point. And if you're taking your emotional temperature throughout the day, say, you know, breakfast, lunch, mid-afternoon, dinner, whatever, and you're saying, okay, I think based on those behavioral points that Dr. Popchak was talking about, I can see that I'm at a 6 or a 7 or an 8 or whatever. What's one thing I could do right now just to take that down just a notch, right? Even one notch. And that can involve simple things like slowing down, literally slowing down my rate of speech and my rate of action, because that mentally taps the brake that makes my brain say, okay, wait, she wants to slow down a little bit here, so I need to calm down a little bit. Or pace myself, come up with a different plan for handling the responsibilities I've got. But the point is, I'm managing that stress temperature throughout the day, so I'm less tempted to give in to unhealthy ways to manage it. Second thing, the second front I want you to focus on is in terms of what you eat and how you eat. Can you make small adjustments in that? You know, when you fill up the bowl with whatever it is, can you just take out 1 or 2 spoons or 1 handful out of that so you eat just a little bit less? Or can you ask yourself, you know, is there something healthier that I could eat that would still be satisfying to me? Even if it's not a big change, an incremental, small change, so it's a little bit less or a little bit healthier, and you're doing the doable as opposed to imposing on yourself the impossible and trying to force through that. The last thing I'll leave you with is I was talking about parts earlier, and I hope you heard that. If not, I'm going to encourage you to download the show and listen to the podcast later. But talk to that part of you that's feeling stressed out. That part of you that wants you to eat and overeat, and ask that part, what does she need from you right now? You know, pray over that part. Bring that part to God and say, Lord, help me to know how to take care of this part of me that wants to eat that tray of brownies right now. What does she need to know about herself or about the situation? How do I need to take care of her so she doesn't feel so desperate? Now, these are just little things that won't make it all go away overnight, but it's going to set you on a path toward incremental change that will help you handle all this more effectively. And if you're looking for more support, more personalized, faithful guidance, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help see you through this. Karen, thank you so much for the call. If there is more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. And to remember all this, download the podcast a little bit later on.
And that goes for you listeners as well. If there's anything you heard on the show today that you'd like to remember, make sure that you're listening to the podcasts every day of More to Life. And if we can support you personally through the challenges you're facing, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.